Hey!
Welcome! Welcome back.
Wow, here we are again.
With more comical romance.
I'm David, Dad.
And I'm Alex. We're here to talk once again about the wonderful world of romance comics.
Yes, we are. We are lovers of the comics genre in general, and especially lovers of the subgenre of...
Comics is not a genre, it's a medium.
Medium. Well, okay, we are lovers of the medium of comics, of the genre of, several genres, so superheroes... And other mainstream comics, but also...
But those have podcasts.
Yes. We are the only... No, we're just the best. Romance comic genre podcasters. Tell us what romance comics are.
Well, if this is your very first episode...
Then go back and start at the beginning.
Yeah, it's a very short comic, standalone comic stories that... are meant to tell a love story within a couple of pages.
That's pretty much true, except, well, they thrived in the 50s and 60s and into the 70s.
Started in the 40s, went into the 70s.
Yeah.
And...
Pretty much died out after that.
Yeah, there have been a handful of revivals, and one could make an argument that, like, modern manga is a romance genre often.
Interesting, I haven't thought of that before.
Mm-hmm. Although manga's its own thing from Japan and all that.
Yeah. And, I mean, people no longer fall in love and have romances, so why would there be comics about it? Soap operas are still out there, and they're still popular, but these were not quite as popular as soap operas, but they were popular.
They were huge. So, romance comics in their heyday sustained the comic book industry. I do not want to underplay how important they were to allowing... the modern comic book world to exist.
That's an interesting question. Why? What was it that made them popular then, but not so popular afterwards? But meanwhile, the comic book medium grew and, well, went through its own ups and downs, but survived primarily on the strength of superheroes. Because there were superheroes back during the heyday of romance comics as well.
Yeah, but that wasn't when a lot of great stuff was coming out for superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
That was the goofy times.
Well, except they were the foundation of everything ever since then. And, you know, 30 of the most popular movies in the last 10, 15 years have been based on superhero comics.
Well, if we're taking a look at the... When did Marvel get its start? I thought that was in the mid to late 60s. I would need to double check. But they first started becoming, like, a real thing in the 70s, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I mean, they were a thing already by the mid-60s. But when did they kind of take off to become ultimately, well, what they are today? Because DC, of course... preceded them by several decades,
yeah,
and introduced Batman and Superman and created the whole field of superheroes.
Yeah, and then, you know, in the Silver Age, Batman and Superman and all of those other ones, they got a little tame.
Well, they also became insufferably stupid, but that's a different story.
Not the heroes themselves, the comics.
The stories.
Yes.
Anyway, the reason we're diverging in this direction is because... we had an experience that was life-changing. We had an opportunity a few weeks ago to attend an event where the guest of honor was none other than...
Roy Thomas. And if you know much about Marvel Comics in general, you have probably heard of Roy Thomas. He is the creator of a lot of very well-known characters, co-creator, that is. And he took over as editor-in-chief of Marvel for a time after Stan Lee stepped down from the role.
And some of the characters he created, Wolverine...
Valkyrie, Ultron...
Half a dozen others at least.
Yes.
And as well as teams, like the Defenders. He was arguably the creator of the Defenders team.
Mm-hmm.
But he also worked for DC for a while, which is interesting. He wrote a number of stories for them. He was unbelievably prolific. If you read the list of comics that he wrote, around the mid-60s, 63, 64 when he got started,
mm-hmm.
Through well, today he's still active to some extent, but in his heyday it was dozens and dozens of stories every year.
And we got the chance to meet him.
We met him. We got to ask him questions.
We got some things autographed.
Oh yeah, we got stuff autographed by him.
And we, most important to this podcast, we got to know what Roy Thomas thinks about romance comics.
That's correct. Alexandra asked him point blank what he thought of romance comics in the pantheon of comic book history, especially because one of the very first comics that he ever co-authored was a romance comic.
Mm-hmm.
Called...
It is Romantic Story from CDC. Jeez, I don't even know what company that is.
This was him basically breaking into the business.
Mm-hmm.
And he...
Okay, CDC means is another thing for Charlton Comics.
Right. And he... I forget the detail from his biography, but he, like any young aspiring artist, was trying to make a name, and he got hired, and they said, here, write a romance comic. It wasn't what he wanted to write. He was already a huge fan. He kind of got his start by writing letters to the editor of some of their comics.
Yeah, that's kind of how you got your foot in the door back in the day.
Yeah.
Write a bunch of letters so they know your name.
Yeah, and they published some of them in the backs of those old issues.
Yeah, so this is one of the very first things he ever wrote, which is in Romantic Story number 87 from March 1967.
Fantastic. Well, I just want to emphasize again, it seems everybody's heard of Stan Lee. Roy Thomas is the sort of Lou Gehrig to Stan Lee's Babe Ruth, but not nearly as well known outside of comic circles, where he is extremely well known.
Mm-hmm.
But we were amused that at this event, we predicted, and it came absolutely true, that one of the first questions asked of him was, what was it like to work with Stan Lee? And, yeah, he was very kind and said that he was a great guy and mm-hmm. all the rest. But he is basically that level of famous in this field. Therefore, just what we're going to do is read this story. This only, single...
The only romance story he ever wrote, and he didn't even write all of it.
That's right. He told you that he wrote, like, half of it, and then somebody else finished it.
It's an 8-page story. He wrote 5 pages of it.
And then he, like, quit or gave up or...
Yeah, someone else took over. Right. But, yeah, I do want to emphasize how much of a dork I am that I went to Roy Thomas, the man who co-created Wolverine... And I said, hey, will you sign this romance comic? And he did not disappoint me. He did sign the cover. And also said, oh, yeah, I guess I remember this.
And answered your question about the importance or the place of romance comics in history by saying something like, yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, those were around.
Yeah, I sort of remember that.
Like, if you've listened to previous episodes of our show... we've covered comics written by Stan Lee. Like, this was a genre that everyone had something to do with.
Mm-hmm.
It mattered, and no one cares anymore.
Except, of course, our growing audience.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Now, we will, so we'll be reading this story. Is it the one that's called One Kiss?
No, it's an interior story called If You Love Me, Fight For Me.
All right. Sounds like a good superhero kind of theme. But because it's Roy Thomas and he is, you know, this level of famous and revered, we're going to have a change of format and we're not going to make fun of this story.
Oh, no, we're not.
No, we're going to just, you know...
We're just going to take all the entertainment value out of this show.
Well, we're going to talk about how brilliant it is.
Oh, dear.
You know, and the genius behind each sentence that he wrote.
Mm.
We're not...
I will read you the story, and you may comment as you feel is appropriate.
All right, but I want to be really, you know, reverent, because those who respect him will be out there, and if we say the wrong thing, they'll come after us.
We did not have this level of respect for the Stan Lee story.
Well, or any of the others, for that matter. Well, all right, let's just see what it's all about.
Okay, so, if you love me, fight for me.
Ow! Ah!
Life is never as exciting and romantic as books and movies make it out to be. There are no swashbuckling heroes, no knights in shining armor.
That's funny. He's immediately talking about heroes in a romance story.
To risk all for love. At least, that's what I always told myself. But I never learned the real truth about life and myself until the day I cried, "If you love me, fight for me."
So it really does have that sort of hero theme mm-hmm. right from the beginning. But she's saying, I didn't believe in heroes until I essentially gave an ultimatum to somebody that the way you can prove your love is by physical violence.
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay.
I guess I was always in love with Jim Howard. At least a little bit. It's hard to remember a time we weren't together. I have such fun when I'm with you, Jim. Will it always be like this? I hope so, Linda. I think you're swell, too.
That's always the best way to win a girl. I think you're swell. Actually, I think your neck is swelling. What's going on?
But then, one day, something happened which changed all that. And which foreshadowed things to come. I do enjoy a narrator that lets us know when there's foreshadowing.
That's right. Warning, foreshadowing, coming.
And Jim and Linda are riding their bikes along the road when another kid comes in front of them who's trying to catch a football. Don't worry, I'll get it. Linda, look out, that boy. What's wrong? And football catching guy crashes into Linda's bike.
Or she crashes into him.
Crashing happens. Yeah, they're not really paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And she topples to the ground. Then, when the dust had cleared, I was on the sidewalk. Why, you ran right into me, Biff Davis.
Of course his name is Biff. All football players' names are Biff.
It was all your fault. If you can't ride that thing right, then why don't you park it? And Jim pipes up in the background, it was an accident.
Well, yeah. So it's good to know that Jim is the level-headed one here.
Just an accident? He could have really hurt me, charging around like that. If you really liked me, you'd hit him for me.
that was very dramatic and well-written dialogue there. Of course, if he liked her, he'd hit him like any superhero would. Yeah. Imagine being Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane. I mean, if some football player ever bumped into her, the guy would be on the moon by now.
Yes, of course. Superman is known for being petty. Well, depends on what era of the comics you're reading.
Well, no, it's more about her, you know.
Yeah, defending her honor.
He was playing football and accidentally ran into me when I probably was just as much at fault because I wasn't really paying attention, as evidenced by the previous panel.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, commit violence on my behalf.
Take it easy, will you? He may be clumsy, but he didn't mean anything.
I like this guy.
Look, if it's a fight you're looking for, Howard, I'll take you any day of the week and twice on Saturday. We've got nothing to fight about, Biff. If I'd been faster, I'd have been able to stop that football.
What? That's Jim saying that?
Yeah.
He would have, what, ridden up and jumped off his bike and caught the football before Biff?
Yeah, I'm not sure what he means by that.
Okay.
You mean you're not going to fight him?
Oh my god, this woman is classic.
Perhaps, deep inside, I knew even then how foolish I was acting. But I couldn't seem to help myself as I said, "You're a coward, Jim. I guess you always will be." "But Linda, be reasonable." And Biff says, "Ha ha ha." As a bully is wont to do.
Is he saying ha 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 because he's getting away with not having a fight, or because he's seeing what a pathetic relationship these people have?
Yeah, you know, he's just experiencing some schadenfreude.
There you go.
Still, I never forgot how much I loved him.
What?
Loved Jim. And we kept dating all the way through high school.
There's this one episode, and this is
well,
the
remember,
defining moment.
Well, remember, that one
was
foreshadowing.
Ah, foreshadowing, of course. Oh my god, are we going to get to a situation where I picture the bank robber running out of the bank with the bag of money with the dollar signs on it, and Jim is like right there and could jump and grab him if he wasn't a coward.
Okay. I always took it for granted that we'd be married someday. And they're done up in some fancy outfits at a school dance. Oh, Jim, I'm so happy when I'm with you. I'm glad, Linda, because this is the way it's going to be. Forever.
Unless, of course, some guy bumps into you again. Then we're screwed.
For as he took me in his arms once again that spring night, everything seemed so right, so very right. But then, suddenly, the spell of the night was broken by... Hey, cats, take the great big bad lover man. Yeah, he's a regular Cary Grant, ain't he?
Because he's, what, dancing with his girlfriend?
No, he's kissing her.
Oh, he's kissing her. And these are just some random bully, tough guy types.
Hooligans.
Hooligans, there you go. Who are coming there to ridicule the couple.
Yeah, you know, as bullies do. They'll go up to people who are kissing and be like, ha ha, you like each other. This was some hoodlum types from a nearby high school.
Wait a minute, were they hooligans or hoodlums?
I think they're cross-disciplinary.
Really? They're sophisticated.
A wild bunch, which was well known for trying to break up other schools' parties by starting fights.
Wow, did people really do that?
Well, it's before the internet. People needed a hobby.
I saw something just the other day that was from back in that era, and it had to do with the problem of juvenile delinquents.
Was this an MST thing?
I think, no. I think it was a movie that was the subject matter of the movie, mm-hmm. You know, showcasing that juvenile delinquents are a problem. It's a great term. I mean, whoever came up with that term, it's like juvenile delinquent. You know, not like bad boy. It's much more scientific.
Well, I think you should have watched Rebel Without a Cause instead.
Yeah, that would have been better.
And Jim says, look, you've had your fun. Now why don't you run along like good little boys?
Ooh, that's a little bit of a cut there.
Mm-hmm.
It went over their heads, I suppose.
Well now, just listen to that tiger roar. I'm surprised I don't just pass out from fright right here.
That's a little bit too articulate a degree of sarcasm.
What, do you want him to sound like Moose from Archie?
Well, duh, yeah. And he's got to, like, mispronounce some of the words.
You're just looking for some excuse to start a fight and disrupt the party. I'm not going to oblige you, so just flake off.
Ooh, flake off.
Fighting words.
Come on, Roy. Tell us what you really mean.
You're not, huh? That sure is smart of you, man. Or could it be that you're just plain chicken?
Uh-oh, this is where
Marty McFly...
McFly freaks out.
Don't take that from him, Jim. Hit him. He deserves it.
This woman has serious issues.
Maybe she should take up boxing or something. What? You want me to hit him? To give these crumbs the chance to break up the party like they want?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I want.
Of course I do.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, it's better than standing around saying tough things and not backing them up. You tell him, sister.
You tell him to hit me.
Yeah.
I wonder if these guys are masochists.
But anyway, apparently the bullies decide that's enough and they start to walk off.
Wait a minute. Their whole purpose was to come and start a fight, mm-hmm. to break up the party.
Yep.
Which, why?
Need
it's
a hobby.
Fun, I guess.
Yep,
I mean, actually, speaking of hooligans,
mm-hmm.
You know the whole phenomenon in European soccer, especially, like, I think somehow British fans are the worst.
Okay.
There really are people, and it's been a phenomenon for years, who go to soccer games, you know, big-time soccer games, specifically to start fights with fans of the other side.
Okay.
And fans of the other side show up too. It's like, we want to have a fight.
Hmm.
It's not just because we all got caught up in the moment. And it's like, no, we're here for a fight. And it's been a big issue. There have been like riots at some of the games,
mm-hmm.
to the point where they even had to have some games with no fans at all in the stands. But these people have, like, go from like England to like Italy, or, you know, a gang of like 20 hooligans, that's what they call them, to just be ready to have a fight. Yeah, we're going to go fight. Yay. It's amazing.
Well, they should have learned a thing or two from Jim.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. There's no action around here. Unless we want to play hide-and-seek behind Mama's shirt like Loverboy here.
Wow, these guys are way too sarcastic. I mean, you know, too good at sarcasm.
See, Linda? My strategy worked.
I wanted blood! Don't you understand?
As soon as they can't provoke a fight, they leave the party in peace.
Yeah, good strategy. I'm sure that works all the time.
Mm-hmm, yep. They left, because you were too much of a coward to fight them. Maybe they were right. Maybe you are, chicken. If you really believe that, maybe we better not see each other anymore.
I mean, they've been seeing each other, what, like 4 years?
Yeah.
And the most wonderful relationship of all time.
Yeah, they're thinking about getting married. And
twice in that whole time, this kind of situation has come up.
Yep.
I mean, I could see if she was down on him because he, like, won't join the army and, you know, do that kind of thing. But come on.
It was wrong. Even then I knew it was wrong. Yet I couldn't help myself. I only knew that I had to get away, to hide the shame I felt deep inside. You're a coward! I never want to see you again! Linda!
Wait, he's the one that just said we should break up.
But before I could get more than a few steps away, I stopped. Jim, I... Suddenly, the foolishness of what I was doing overwhelmed me, and I flew back to Jim's arms, and he was there waiting. Oh, Jim, I'm sorry. I do love you so. Don't cry, Linda. It's all right. I understand.
Now, you'll need to get about 6 years of therapy, but we can work it out.
You know, I hear that second wave feminism's becoming quite the thing these days. Maybe you should look into analyzing gender roles a bit.
Or, if you really want to, you could learn how to be violent yourself.
Yeah, that seems like it's something missing in your life.
You definitely seem to have a need. Now, how far are we into this story?
We have just completed the fourth page. Only one page left of Roy Thomas writing.
Right. And it'd be interesting to see where the story changes after one. But I'm just going to tell you right now, I cannot begin to think where this story is going.
Okay.
I mean, presumably another encounter with another group of bullies, but third time's always a charm, so something different has to happen there. Oh, I know. Nope, I got it. Third group of bullies shows up, maybe even after they're married or something. She starts to say the same thing, you know, you chicken. He finally says, okay, I can't take this anymore. And he decides to be violent, and he gets the crap beat out of him. And she's like, visits him in the hospital. I'm so sorry I made you do that. And then they love each other again.
Okay.
For the third time.
Yes, I suppose Jim did understand. But no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't. And when the party ended and Jim saw me home... Linda, I'd like to try to explain about what I did. It's not that I was afraid to fight those hoods. It's just... Please, Jim, don't. I...
hate the truth.
Think I'd better go in now. And then we kissed, as we had done so many times before. But it just wasn't the same. Somehow the words, I love you, which had come so easily before, could not escape my lips. As I watched Jim leave, I had a strange feeling of sadness, as if something were dying, and it was all my fault. Yet there was nothing I could do about it.
Yeah, there was a lot you could do about it.
Women didn't invent agency yet, at that point.
And that means... For our less educated reader, listeners.
She's not capable of having an impact on her own life. She is a victim of circumstances at all times.
Ah, yes. She's simply playing the role that society has assigned to her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very hard to be a woman in 1977.
67. Oh, yeah. It was even harder in 67. Mm.
Oh, Jim, I do love you. I do.
Will you stop saying that and then turning around and dumping him?
But why wouldn't you fight those party crashers?
Is she saying this to herself?
She's thinking it as he walks away.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you'd have understood a bit more if you'd listened to the explanation he just tried to give you.
Mm-hmm.
There was no sleep for me that night.
All I could see before me was Jim, challenged to fight by some of the lowest scum on the face of the earth, and backing down from them. I know he thinks he was doing it to save the party, but why couldn't he have fought them? For me? Why?
Because I would have enjoyed so much seeing the bruises and the cuts and the blood.
Maybe some broken bones.
Oh, it would have been so wonderful, and hearing the screams of agony and pain. Mm-hmm. That's what I want.
I'm bloodthirsty, and he doesn't understand that. But the memories of that night soon faded from sight, or at least buried themselves so deep within me that I seemed to forget them. Summer came, and with all the good times that I, or any girl, could want with her guy.
So she's having, like, this ideal life. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a werewolf story. You know, everything's wonderful for 29 days out of the year, and then the full moon comes, and and then we forget all about it.
And the rest of the panel is a montage of them playing tennis and going swimming and having a picnic.
Oh, dear. Wonderful.
And now we're done with the Roy Thomas stuff.
Oh, so this next panel, at least if we believe him, is the first one by somebody else?
Yeah.
So I'm just, you have to wonder, did he like run out of ideas? like where am I going to take this thing from here anyway?
I can't write any more of this app.
I'm just puking. Or did, he was assigned something else and he just didn't have time and they handed it off to someone. But he said, well, this is what I was thinking would happen next. And so it's really, he had a whole idea.
Yeah, I don't actually know.
If only he had spent 20 minutes explaining to you.
We should have had a one-on-one just totally diving into this book together. He should have been a guest star.
Oh my God, that's it. We're inviting him on our next podcast.
Hear that, Roy Thomas? We want to hear your thoughts on this comic. None of your other stuff.
Just email us. I know you listen, so just send us a message and we'll
book you.
Yeah, it's
mycomicalromance2020@gmail.com.
That's correct.
For all your writing to us needs. What I didn't know, and wasn't to discover until sometime later was, and now we see another panel, where Jim is apparently, he's in a gi at a martial arts studio.
In a what?
A martial arts studio.
What would you say before that?
A gi.
What the hell is a gi?
Karate outfit.
We're learning so much today, everyone.
Yeah, agency, gis.
Okay. Okay, he's in a
karate.
Gi.
Karate.
Yes, I know. He's in a gi, guys.
So his teacher says, has apparently been knocked to the floor, and he says, so Jim, you get better with every lesson. Soon you shall be ready for the black belt. Gee, that's great news.
No, gee, that's great news.
I haven't been practicing karate 5 years for nothing,
5 years?
5 years of karate.
But they've only been together like 5 years.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, you know who he's like? He's like Kwai Chang Kane from the TV show Kung Fu. It was one of my favorite TV shows growing up and all my friends.
Didn't that show have a lot of yellow face?
He was only half Chinese.
Oh, okay.
His mother or father was American, whatever. But his whole thing was like he's super mellow. Mm-hmm. And he's always trying to like defuse situations and always saying, oh, be peaceful and everything. And he prays and he meditates and all. But then once an episode, the bad guys just come after him and he's forced to use the kung fu that he is so expert at, mm-hmm, that he just blows them all away. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, gee, I wish I didn't have to do that. But, that's the way it is. And that's this guy. It's like he's been taking martial arts for 5 years, mm-hmm, and not even telling her that he could have blown away these guys.
Yeah. He's a... keeping this a secret for some reason.
Oh, I love this.
Has been lying to his girlfriend for years about what he does on Thursday nights or whatever. However, there is one important thing you must remember. Never use karate except in a properly officiated ring. It is a deadly art, and you can kill a man without meaning to. I'll remember, Mr. Hoshimoto.
I'll remember not to kill anyone.
But, as I said, I didn't know. And that night, as I sat in Jim's arms, his seeming cowardice kept gnawing at me.
How well do you know this guy? You claim to know.
Also, you said that you forgot about that, mm-hmm, incident in the spring.
Yeah, she's lying.
Also, they're in a car at presumably Makeout Hill. like the teens do.
Not a drive-in?
No, no. It's a forested hill in the moonlight.
Oh, yes.
Jim, darling, I hate to bring this up.
And by hate, I mean I couldn't wait to bring it up.
I've been wanting to bring this up for weeks. But why are you afraid to fight? I just don't understand.
Because with one blow of my hand, I would kill almost any man.
I've told you, Linda. I'm not afraid. I just don't see that it serves any purpose.
This really is Kung Fu. This is the guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But as he took me in his powerful arms and his lips burned against mine, my fears were forgotten, and Jim once again became the only man in my magical romantic world. Oh, Linda, you need so much more in your life. Oh, darling, how can you make me forget all these things so quickly with just one kiss? She's saying this while she's being kissed.
Because you're shallow.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer, but right now, I only want you to keep kissing me and dispelling all my doubts and fears. Then, as Jim's kisses carried me to another world, neither of us was aware of the car that pulled up alongside us. So, more than one car is at makeout point now.
Ah, here we go. So, I was right. Here comes confrontation number three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I was sort of right what's going to happen. He's not going to end up in the hospital. He's going to beat these people up because, I don't know, he's sort of forced to. But then he's going to say, you know, oh, but I have the ability, but I don't like to use it. You know, pretty much like Superman. But she's going to say, oh, everything's so wonderful now. It's perfect because I can love you and you're not a coward. Which somehow justifies everything she's ever been doing. So this is a horrible story. Go ahead.
Little did we know that. Well, now. You like my bully voice?
That's a great...
Look who we just happened to park beside. Old harmless Howard himself. Sit tight, baby. Old Biff's gonna have a little fun.
Oh, it's Biff!
Yeah.
It's not the guys from the party. It's no. Biff himself.
Coming back to haunt them.
Oh, dear.
And I guess he's got a girlfriend there, too, because she says, don't, Biff. They're not causing any trouble.
Wait a minute. She's the one who doesn't want violence? So Howard should get together with her, and the other, she can have all the violence she wants with Biff. It's perfect.
Also, you're driving to this place, presumably to make out with your girlfriend, and you're just like, oh no, there's somebody I can bully. Oh, thank goodness.
Priorities.
And just when I had a feeling Jim was about to propose to me, I heard a voice which made my blood run cold. Then I looked up and saw Biff! Howdy there, handsome. I see you're taking your dog for a little drive tonight. Har, har.
I don't get it.
He's calling Linda a dog.
Oh, okay. That's provocative. Now he's going to get the crap beat out of him.
Make like a banana and split, man.
Wow, what a comeback.
Well, I'm sure he invented it.
I will say, you know, I like Jim, and he's a pacifist, and he's a cool guy, mm-hmm. but he's not good at the insults. He's really not.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fine line to walk, but to be like, hey, I'm not putting up with your stuff, but I'm not trying to provoke you either.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you dumb comebacks.
Nobody invited you to join us. Yeah, you show him, Jim. The moment I saw Biff, I decided that I wouldn't pressure Jim to fight him. But when he started insulting me, I couldn't help myself.
Because I have this really, really strong obsession with asking my boyfriend to kill people.
Ooh, Jim, are you going to let him talk to me like that? He's just a loudmouth, honey. What he says is nothing but hot air. Oh, yeah? Well, you're just going to see how much damage a bag of hot air can do to your pretty face. Biff, do you have a crush on Jim?
He's saying Jim's pretty face.
Yes.
Yeah, Biff does have a little bit of a crush, I think.
Yeah, maybe that's what's causing all his toxic masculinity. Yeah. Just buried homophobia.
Exactly.
Oh, and some other cars are pulling up. A crowd is gathering.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's not the guys from the other party, though.
They're just background characters. You can't really tell. Jim gets out of the car, and Linda thinks, suddenly the thrill of seeing Jim actually fight for me overcame me, and I did something very foolish. Come on, Jim. You show him, and the winner gets me as a prize.
What? Wait, hold on just a minute here. She had problems up to now.
Mm-hmm.
But she is so into violent masculinity,
mm-hmm,
that if her boyfriend, virtual fiancé,
mm-hmm,
fights this bully jerk and loses, she will give herself to Biff.
Yeah, so empowered.
Even in the presence of the other girl that he's dating, she's just gonna, like, you know, when she says, gets me as a prize, I mean, mm-hmm, what exactly does that mean in this context?
Oh, I'm sure it's very PG.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Oh my God, this woman is really troubled.
Yes, very much so. Well, now that sounds mighty interesting. Let's get this show on the road. And Biff punches Jim. And Linda says, "Get up, Jim. If you don't whip that big bully for me, you lose me forever."
Please, please, just once. Just once can a comic end the way it should, which is that Jim dumps her butt permanently and walks away. Please. Even though she's narrating the story, so that's probably not going to happen.
My heart stopped beating, and I became sick inside as I discover, "Jim, you chicken! You're not really fighting. You're letting him whip you."
What, he, like, walking away?
No, he's taking another punch.
This guy's amazing.
And some guys in the background say, "I don't get Jim, man. He's pulling his punches. It's like he wants to lose."
Yeah, because he'll get rid of Linda. Thank goodness.
Yeah, is he ever succeeding? Biff's murdering him.
Is he, like, falling on the ground and stuff?
Yeah, next panel he's collapsed on the ground.
Okay.
Then it was over, and that ought to teach you to stay out of big leagues, wise guy.
What, that parking place is the big leagues?
Yeah. Oh, but Jim shouldn't have provoked him by being there.
Yep.
Well, sob.
Sob.
It looks like you win, sob. Biff.
At least she's going to keep her word. Good for her. I respect a woman who is, you know...
Well, she's many things, but like Superman, she's no fibber.
She doesn't back out of a contract.
I'll get my things and go home with you.
I'll be in your bedroom by the time we get home.
I'm gonna cry about it, but I did promise. Goodbye, Jim. You hopeless coward. Then I turned and walked away.
Man, did you ever take a lickin'? Why didn't you use your karate on the big ape, Jimbo? You could have murdered the bum.
And Jim's holding his head and his glasses are broken.
Oh.
And he says, "It's this way, fellas. I didn't lose the fight. I won. Linda didn't want a man. She wanted a bully. And now she has him. I learned what I wanted. Now, how's about a hunk of steak for this shiner I picked up?"
All right, Jim! He's my favorite romance comic character of all time. Way to go! Except if she's narrating, how does she know that he said that? Wait, it's not over?
One panel left.
Oh, I thought that was the punchline. Get it? Punchline?
And so, I lost Jim. Just as I lost Biff, Tom, Jake, and Billy. None of them turned out to be a man enough for me. As a matter of fact, Jim turned out to be the only real man I've ever known. But he's married now, and I guess I'll just have to wait and hope that somewhere there's another man who will love me enough to fight for me the way that Jim did.
Ooh.
The end.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't want to tell you in advance, but this is one of the rare romance comics that does not have a happy ending.
Well, it kind of does for Jim, not mm-hmm. obviously for the narrator.
Mm-hmm.
But it also has, I guess, a kind of unexpected lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually there's some trite lesson involved, but this one... You heard me rooting for that to be the outcome all along, and I was sure it was going to be, oh, he you know, finally gets provoked enough and beats the hell out of the guy, and she's, oh, you're my hero. Or my first one, which is that he gets all beat up and she's like so sorry because he practically got killed.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe some combination, like they have a big fight. He does win the fight, but in the process, he nearly gets killed. And now she has to face that it was her fault, but he's still a man, so okay. But the fact that he could really back off, and what he said there, she didn't want a man, she wanted a bully.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of, I mean, it took him a while to figure that out, but from the beginning to the end of the story, this guy is a hero.
Mm-hmm.
He never did anything objectionable.
Yep.
Yeah, which,
perhaps the best romance comic male protagonist we've had so far.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. He's my favorite. I'd like to see, like, can we have a sequel where he's in some other situation that he has to prove?
Yeah, there's a whole spinoff series about Jim Howard. You haven't heard about that?
Well, I think then they change his name to Clark Kent or...
So, yeah.
Because that is, you know... Occasionally, a story, a theme in Superman, like Lois is, you know, ridiculing Clark because he won't fight or he won't stand up for himself. And Clark's going, like, oh, if I punch the guy, I'd knock his head off.
Now, this is also a recurring storyline in other romance comics, but this is the only one that ends realistically and in a satisfying way.
What? So usually it is the way I said?
No, it's worse.
Worse?
Yeah, so there will be a woman who's getting insulted by some bullies. She tells her boyfriend, oh, are you going to let him talk to me like that? You should beat him up. And at first he's like, no, I don't want to. Happens once or twice. By the end, though, he finally charges up to the guy, punches him. Just the once. It's a glorious punch. He goes flying back.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, this has happened in multiple stories, turns to his girlfriend, who's all like, oh, I knew you were a real man. And he says, yes, and as a real man, this is what I'm going to do next. And he spanks her.
Oh my God. That you're saying that's happened in multiple stories?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a recurring trope in many Silver Age comic books of a woman who's disrespecting a man needs a spanking.
Well.
As an adult, an independent adult who is worthy of respect and whatever, who's just not been super nice lately, spanked.
So the undercurrent of violence equals, let's call it sexual attraction, is what that's all about. She wants a man, a real man, because a real man who will do violent things, that's the only way she's turned on. That's what it takes. And that's, you know, that's channeling cavemen, for God's sake. But it also... it brings to mind the ubiquitous, unforgettable comic advertisement for the bodybuilding course.
The Charles Atlas one?
Yes, with the bully on the beach who picks up the guy who looks like he's basically going to waste away, so skinny. and then spends, a nickel or something to get the Charles Atlas course. And within, I don't know, 2 weeks or so, he's, you know, this gigantic Arnold Schwarzenegger type.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first thing he does is go back to the beach and punches the guy who happens to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, all the women are all over him, and he's the hero of the beach.
And it's really interesting because the people who write these comics, the people who probably were behind the Charles Atlas program and that ad, are men.
Yeah. And probably nerdy men.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe these were men who always felt like the classic, oh, I don't have muscles, so girls won't like me sort of thing.
Sure.
But this particular story at least suggests some self-awareness on the second author's part.
Yeah. Well, you wonder, would Roy have taken it in that direction? Was that the plan? Because it easily could have ended one of these other ways, including with a spanking.
Yeah, and it ends right before we find out that Jim takes karate.
Oh, his part.
Yes, Roy's part.
Yeah. So, again, he could have gone in many different directions with it. I mean, this is a satisfying ending, but I think it is exceptional. It's not what you usually find in romance comics, because it really is, the lesson is less about his being responsible and being a pacifist and stuff. It's more about her being psycho, which, as you say, it's actually not that uncommon. And sure, in lots of other media and everything, including Charles Atlas, women wanting their men to be big, strong, and violent, mm-hmm. protectors, call it, is a common theme.
Well, we brought up Marty McFly before. Did you not see the first movie?
Of course.
You know, nerdy guy punches bully, punches Biff.
Yes, Biff.
Changes the history.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, that theme is, that goes back to Hercules and you name it.
Yeah, and it's really weird. Like, I know that there are women who prefer muscular men, but this protector, violent instinct thing, that doesn't seem like a good quality to have in a sweetheart. A common complaint in more modern superhero comics is that the women are just drawn in ridiculously pin-up poses, breaking their spine so you can see their breasts and butt at the same time.
Yeah.
Really revealing costumes, all sorts of things like that. And the obvious reason for that is to promote the sex appeal of the comic and the characters, to get men interested in buying it. And a common counter-argument to that, that male fans often have, is that, well, the male superheroes are ridiculous, too. They're super muscular. Mm-hmm. And, like, no one can have a physique like that. But these comics, regardless of their female audience, are often written for men.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't, like, meant to be a romantic, erotic fantasy for women. The super buff Superman, Batman, etc.
Right, right.
They are power fantasies for men.
Mm-hmm.
And when you actually look at media that is geared towards women, that's not what the ideal man looks like.
Hmm.
Which is a very interesting thing to look at in the evolution of romance novels.
Yeah.
Which I have read some. It's a big genre.
Yeah. That's another one that's continued to this day, unlike the romance comics.
Yes. Yes. And it's often unfairly maligned and treated as lesser literature because, oh, it's for and about women. But the fantasy that romance novels tend to play out the most is, sure, there may be this gruff guy who doesn't seem very approachable at first. Maybe he's got some secret pain or something like that. But by the end of the story, the woman will have reached him and gotten him to be willing to express his emotions, to be like, oh, the world has been harsh, but I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And I will do anything for you. And I will even admit that I have been wrong in the past, because we'll have like a midway breakup that seems like it's going to be permanent, but then we get back together. And I'll come back in the rain and say, I was so wrong. Can we please just be together forever now?
You're making me think of a song that I have recently decided is going to be one of my theme songs in life. Maybe I'll play it as the outro to this show instead of the usual. By the Eric Burdon and the Animals, called Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood.
Oh, I think I know that song, or at least a version of
it. There's other versions of it out there, too. That's the original. But it's if you just listen in the background, you think that he's apologizing for cheating on her or something. Mm-hmm. Because that's the way it sounds. He's got this sort of plaintive voice, like, oh, please don't, you know, dump me. But it's not. He's just generically saying, I'm a complicated person. I don't always express myself the way I should. Sometimes I get angry, but I don't mean it. And trust me that I really love you. Just don't let me be misunderstood. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about. Just please understand me.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. It's also musically a really cool song.
Mm-hmm.
But what are we going to do? We're talking about Roy Thomas. We're going to post this and we'll post some pictures.
Mm-hmm.
We've already put a few things on our Facebook page. If you have any interest in all of this, please email us, mycomicalromance2020@gmail.com.
Please do. We love hearing from you guys.
Or just comment on our Facebook page.
Yeah, that too.
My Comical Romance. Thanks again, everybody.
Yeah, and stay romantical.
Bye-bye.
Baby, do you understand me now? Sometimes I feel a little mad. But don't you know that no one alive can always be an angel? When things go wrong, I seem to be bad.
understand.